Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
There's got to be one news story we can all agree on.
What about Matt Gaetz?
Yeah, he's awful.
But when you think about it, 17 ain't that young.
No, man. See, that's why you in trouble. That's why you in trouble, Calvin.
So Saturday Night Live opens up with a sketch about the Derek Chauvin trial involving, obviously, the homicide of George Floyd, and black and white people seeing at least some portions of it a little bit differently. And is there anything we can all agree about? Oh, yeah, Matt Gaetz. And then the weather guy, who tried very hard not to be dragged into any of these conversations in the sketch, jumps in with his comments you heard there. Well, you know, 17's not that young. So it's interesting Saturday Night Live has taken the approach they have on Matt, although I don't think it's all that weird. I mean, if you think back to like Anthony Weiner, or you think back to other politicians, you know, Mark Sanford, other politicians that have been, you know, involved in sexual related scandals or allegations, that's fodder, okay, for late night comedians or Saturday Night Live, that I don't always put them in the comedian category. But anyway, not just there, but Weekend Update, two weekends in a row, just all over Matt about this stuff.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome to Weekend Update. I'm Michael Che.
I'm Colin Jost. Well, our favorite Florida congressman, Matt Gaetz, is back in the news, but this time it's good. I'm kidding, it's still the sex stuff. Matt Gaetz, who looks like all the dudes from American Pie combined, reportedly sent $900 on Venmo to an alleged sex trafficker who then forwarded that same exact amount to three young women in payments labeled tuition and school, which, if true, would make him the only congressman actually helping with student loans.
So, you know, it goes on. I mean, Colin Jost in particular, not Michael Che. It's kind of interesting. Only Colin Jost is making these jokes, but opening both Weekend Updates 2 weeks in a row.
But at least Gaetz is taking the allegations seriously. That's why yesterday he spoke at the Women for America First Summit, which was a nice change to see women pay for an hour with Matt Gaetz.
You know, I was really debating with myself whether I would even play the clips. I decided in the end I would, out of a, hey, here's what's actually going on in the world, and here's how the world is talking about our congressman. The part of me that didn't want to play them is the part that's like, there's no fundamental change in the fact pattern. He still denies all of the allegations of illegal behavior, which would cover both the trafficking allegations and also the prostitution allegations. And I mean, among anything else that would be involved in a violation of the law. And I know Matt really well. And I was actually talking to my wife about this. Like, what do you do when you don't know what the truth of a situation is? You have to make a decision in the absence of good information. And I've known Matt a long time, said this many times, I've known Matt a long time, and so I have to decide, where do I side when I'm not sure? Because, look, if it turns out to be true, I don't want to be the guy who defended him against the evidence. But if it turns out to be false, I don't want to be the guy who was friends with him until the going got tough and then I jumped ship. So I still side with him. I think it's false. I haven't seen any evidence. You know, it doesn't fit with anything that I know about him, and it would be incredibly stupid of him to do any of this stuff. So I still believe in Matt. I still trust that this is all false. Plus, I have seen what they did to the president, right? I have seen that. Now, if evidence comes out and if it's not some anonymous sourced reporting from parties that already can't stand him, well, I'll look differently at it. But until then, you know, I've known him and his family as long as I have lived here. And I probably have interviewed him more than anybody else. And there just isn't anything about this that fits anything that I know about him.
My favorite moment was when Gaetz pointed out how much support he's getting from other politicians.
This past week has been full of encouragement from President Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Jim Jordan.
Oh, no. Did you think those were good character references? Who was next on his list? The ghost of Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, two of three. I mean, I still consider Trump and Jim Jordan to be fairly good references, right? And certainly people who understand how people can make allegations against you, and even if they don't have the evidence for it, people still remember the allegation, right? I was also thinking about this. Like, I don't know who watches Saturday Night Live anymore, because I always have this question with myself, like, which things do I report on? And I have long since abandoned watching the whole show. I just watch the cold open and then Weekend Update. And, you know, the question is, do I report on it as if it matters? You know, because that's the theory. Like, national TV is making fun of our congressman. That seems sort of news-like. But, you know, there's things that go on Twitter that I don't report on because I don't know and I don't care. I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. And there's a whole universe of commentary. And for people who are into Twitter, like, it's the only thing that, you know, it's the most important thing in the whole wide world. And if I spend a lot of time on Twitter, maybe I would start to share their opinion, but I don't. So I just kind of ignore it. Maybe I should just ignore Saturday Night Live. Maybe that would be the better approach, at least from a news perspective. 437-1620. If you make a joke on Saturday Night Live and nobody hears it, does it really matter? 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And no delays to report. We're actually scratched that halfway on the bridge. I'm noticing delays. Got a little too excited there. About halfway on the bridge. Maybe a few extra minutes getting on the main gate. Taking a look at eastbound Gulf Breeze Parkway. Still backed up around the area of the Winn-Dixie Bell's parking lot. Northbound Garcon Point Bridge moving at a slower pace, and it'll continue that way until you get through the toll plaza. It does appear that once you go through that light at Avalon and Garcon Point Road, it checks in clear both north and southbound. So good news there. I-10 and I-110 also reporting no delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you have any kind of a construction project, whether you're remodeling, rebuilding, do it yourself, or you're like a construction pro, Pensacola Hardware, they can help you. They've been doing this for more than 170 years. And sometimes I say that and it's still kind of hard to wrap your brain around, like, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, older than Levi's, right? They've been making hardware and helping people build things in Pensacola longer than Levi's has been making jeans, right? That's how long they've been doing this. And the point is, they know how. Whether it's just your little home improvement project, or whether it's houseware sales, or whether you build houses for a living and you need a solution to a problem that you've never seen before, they've seen it before. They've seen it before, they know how to solve it, and they have the stuff in stock right now. So go there, find out what they can do, and ask them. Say, Andrew's always raving about you guys. What can you actually do for me? Ask them. They'll have an answer for you. Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
By UWF would make us the first university in the state of Florida to actually commit to 100%. Tallahassee is the closest that we have so far with their city committing to 100%, but no universities in the state of Florida. And this could vault UWF to a tier amongst UF, UCF, USF, a major state university versus a regional university.
This is kind of interesting. This was Jalen McGee talking at the city council on Thursday in the forum beforehand, talking about declaring UWF, I think it was a solar, but I think it was a commitment to 100% renewable was what they were talking about. In either case, the argument had been made, hey, if we do this, it would make UWF a more prominent player among colleges because, right, it would be unique. It would be something that we could advertise and attract students on the basis of. And that's kind of an interesting approach. I hadn't really been thinking about it that way, but that is an interesting approach. Another speaker at the on the kind of the same topic, but a little bit different. I think her name was Clear. It's hard to understand her last name. Her first name was Paige. She was talking about parking and bikeability and all of this in the context of things they'd like to see for Pensacola.
Renewable energy falls under the same umbrella for me as making the city more bikeable, preserving green spaces, and the unique ecosystems and coastlines that we have here. And if we made the city more bikeable, maybe we wouldn't have much of a parking issue anymore.
Look, as a person who bikes a lot, I don't bike as a commuting thing. I bike as exercise and sort of entertainment and recreation. There are people who bike as commuting, and I understand that they're there, but I think they think about transportation very differently from how I think about it and how most people think about it. Because I think most people who drive cars hear that comment and like, You know, that's adorable. But the idea that if you make the city more bikeable, that people are going to give up their cars as a form of transportation or commuting. Biking is, unless we have a massive change in the culture, the bicycle and the way our cities and our even suburban areas are laid out, biking is always going to be an asterisk in transportation. It's a good thing to facilitate. It's better if the roads are safer for bikes. I believe in bike lanes as a bicycle user. Okay, I'm about as bike friendly as anybody you'll find around. But I'm also a car lover. And the notion that we can solve our transportation problems by just encouraging people to ride bikes more, it's just never going to happen in this country, let alone in Pensacola. 720, you know, you got to be in a huge, dense urban area for something like that to start to make sense. Just not here. 723 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The coronavirus death toll has topped 562,000 as daily testing drops by 30%. The focus now shifting to vaccinations. The CDC shows more than 187 million shots have been given so far. Britain's Prince Philip will be laid to rest next weekend. NBC's Ralph Sanchez.
Preparations have been underway here at Windsor Castle for next Saturday's funeral. We've seen a crane operating inside the castle grounds. Generators have been moving in, but this is going to be a very different funeral to what was planned before the COVID pandemic.
Buckingham Palace says only 30 people, made up mostly of family members, will be allowed to attend the ceremony. Godzilla vs. Kong continuing to battle it out at the box office. The new Warner Brothers monster movie, this weekend's champ at North America's theaters, earning just over $13 million in the U.S. and Canada. Coming in second is Nobody, earned $3 million, and The Unholy, almost $2.5
million. Can I make a completely extraneous comment about Kong, Godzilla vs. Kong?
Probably.
Jimmy Patronus. CFO Jimmy Patronus was in town on Friday at this UWF broadband, rural broadband connectivity thing, which I watched, but I haven't had time to talk about today. I'll probably talk about it tomorrow. It's very interesting. He, like, for no good reason whatsoever, he spoilered the movie.
Oh, no.
I'm listening to him like, nah, nah. And he did it in the context of saying that something or other was very predictable, just like the outcome of, and I'm like, dude, what are you thinking? You know, if Matt Gaetz doesn't run and you decide to run for Congressional District 1, I will not vote for you just because of that. No, it's very irritating. Mark, thanks so much for the update, because we're not into our two-week rule yet, right? You still got a little bit of time before 2 weeks. That Davis, right? We said spoilers 2 weeks.
That's right. Oh, we did.
Yeah, so we're only about a week and a half in, I think, on that movie. 725 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You know, if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound when you flush the toilet, the water pressure, the water heat, you know the stuff, plumbing stuff, right? Because when it goes wrong, it doesn't self-heal. You got to fix it. You got to get somebody in to take care of it. Well, Barbary Plumbing, they do flat rate pricing. That means that they price it by the job, not by the time it takes. So they can tell you in advance how much it's going to cost. So there's no surprises. It's not like you say, oh, sure, go ahead. And then like, well, hey, look, you know, it doesn't work like that. Guaranteed, no surprises. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. Davis Allen now, traffic on the fives.
Well, as you're going northbound, taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge, it is delayed, moving at a slower pace, I should say, until you get through that light at the intersection of Avalon and Garcon. Once you get north of that light, it checks in clear the rest of the way. Now, southbound, coming from I-10 on down to the Garcon Point Road light, it does stay clear. In fact, not seeing any buildup because of that light. Seeing a slight buildup, though, once you get onto the bridge, moving at a little bit slower pace, but nothing that'll keep you at a dead stop. Now taking a look at Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound, delayed around the Winn-Dixie Bell's parking lot, and the front gate of NES Pensacola is still showing delays about midway through the bridge. I'm seeing these backups. And if you notice anything else, give me a call, 262-6111, and this report is brought to you by Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
True. 727 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Today there's supposed to be a press conference on the gas skimmer problem by Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. Oh, that pressing. Look, she's running for governor. I'm running for governor. I need press time. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Oh, yeah. I know. I will do a press conference on gas skimmers. Just like she sends out all these releases on her response to the Supreme Court case, or the appeals court case, hearing the preemption law on gun regulations. You know, this is the law that Florida beefed up not that long ago, a couple of years ago. They beefed up the law preventing local officials from regulating guns in any way because they say, look, nobody should be regulating guns in the state of Florida. The Constitution is declarative, but also the Florida legislature, if anybody, is going to make any of these restrictions. And so it punishes local officials, like, pretty severely. Like, removal from office is a possibility. I think there's a fine involved. There might be jail time as a possibility as well. And so that was struck down as unconstitutional at one level, and then it's been upheld now at the next level. And I'm probably going to go to the Supreme Court with this, the United States. But she says, this is outrageous. We need to do something about guns. Well, okay, I get that you're running for governor. But, you know, it doesn't mean I need to watch your press conference or that I particularly care all that much what you say about this gun preemption law. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, this is big news. It's not surprising news, but for those of you who are parents with kids in school and we're kind of concerned about this, there has been a decision made that the Florida standards test will not be used as a punitive measure. They're just a measurement. They're not going to be used to hold kids back or hold them from graduation or any of that kind of stuff, because the argument is that during the pandemic, right, it's just too hard to figure out how kids have been adversely affected by this. I support this. This is a good decision. However, okay, let me put it. However, I also firmly believe that we can't just pass people because it was a difficult year. I mean, a diploma is supposed to mean something. Moving from a grade to another grade is supposed to mean something. And if the kids are not ready, promoting them or graduating them when they don't really qualify, that's not doing anybody a favor. Not really. Because they're not ready. And if the measurement or the declaration that they've, you know, passed a certain... You see what I'm saying? So this is right, but this doesn't solve the problem of how do we get them ready. That's the real issue. Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up, sir?
Escambia County deputies investigating an overnight shooting. Story after 5.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Alibaba Group, the world's biggest e-commerce company, has been fined $2.8 billion by Chinese regulators for anti-competitive tactics as the ruling Communist Party tightens control over fast-growing tech industries. Party leaders worry about the dominance of China's biggest internet companies, which are expanding into finance, health services, and other sensitive areas. The party says Alibaba was fined for abusing its dominant position to limit competition by retailers that use its platforms and hindering free circulation of goods. The Ever Given is stuck again, this time by the legal and financial fallout from the container ship's infamous grounding last month. Egypt is refusing to release the massive ship that blocked the Suez Canal until its owners agree to pay as much as $1 billion in compensation. The Japanese owner of the Ever Given says shippers with cargo on the ship would have to pay into a fund to cover costs of recovery or damages before they could reclaim their cargo. On Wall Street, futures are lower. That's your money now.
You know more because you listen to Dave Ramsey, 1 till 4 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, Amy. Thank you to my amazing fiance, Ginger. I love you with all my heart, and I can assure you the best is indeed yet to come.
Matt Gaetz, Representative Matt Gaetz, speaking at the Women for America. I always want to call it the Concerned Women for America, which is a different organization. So if you ever hear me stumble over that, that's why. But Women for America First, a very pro-Trump women's organization, talking there on Friday.
Keep fighting! After the Russia hoax, the knockoff Ukraine impeachment sequel, and an election that was stolen as a consequence of illegal last-minute changes to the rules, folks have sort of gotten to know that I'll take on the establishment of both parties, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So I think this is the only appearance that Matt has made since all of this stuff broke loose. He did the town hall with us, 2 weeks ago Monday. He had done an interview with us the week before, and he usually does an every other. So every other week. So I had been expecting that we would have him on last week. They asked if they could move to this week, or they said that they thought that having him had be on for the town hall meant this week. And I said, fine, no big deal. And so we were scheduled to go for today, and I talked to his folks on Friday, and they said that they needed to push it for a week or two. And I said, look, I understand, but people are going to perceive that as avoiding. And... you know, I've told you before, I'll say it again. I'm still on Matt's side. I still think this is going to turn out to be false. Unless you show me good evidence, it's contrary to what I know about him otherwise. But I wish he would have come on. There's no other way to say it. I wish he would have come on the air today so we could ask him the questions and get his answers. Just, you know, he's never been shy about doing media. Certainly he's been on with me. I didn't do the math. Probably 100 times at least. Maybe multiple hundreds. I don't even know. I'd have to do the math to count. But we've had him on the show an awful lot. And, you know, avoiding doing an interview, which I understand when you're in a legal environment, like the House Ethics Committee has just opened an investigation. I understand, you know, where it's at. But just given his past of always doing media, and always having an answer for every question. I've never caught Matt where he's like, man, I just don't know how to answer that. It's, you know, that's... he's very, very, very sharp. So it's a little weird, but, you know, silence is not a confession. And you have to remember that about, you know, taking the fifth. You also have to remember that about in an environment like this. But I don't think it looks great. And I told him that. You know, I said, look, not him, but his team. I said, you know, this is what it's going to look like to people. And I said, we understand. So anyway, he talked on Friday, and I thought I'd at least share some of this stuff with you because it's relevant.
The smears against me range from distortions of my personal life to wild, and I mean wild, conspiracy theories. I won't be intimidated by a lying media, and I won't be extorted by a former DOJ officials and the crooks he is working with. The truth will prevail.
Now, the rest of the event was kind of interesting because what he did for the next about 8 minutes in this speech was talk about various women that are working with him or for him, that are staff members, most of whom I know fairly well, and talking about their stories and how he believed in them when, you know, people said they shouldn't hire him. Like, you know, a woman who had worked for Democratic leaders in the House and came over to work for him. And, you know, people said, why would you hire her? And he's like, I think she could be good for us. And, you know, Don McArdle, who's his local district manager, and she's great. But she didn't have experience in politics. And people thought, why would you hire her? He's like, I think she can do the job. And she does do the job. And Jillian Wyatt, who's his communications director at one time and now his chief of staff, I mean, she's really, really good at her job, but she didn't have the right kind of experience. But she's the one that was responsible for him getting on TV about it. So he told kind of all of these stories as a way of, I think, answering the question, well, what do you think about women? And the challenge is, like, how do you respond to that allegation? You know, when somebody says you hate women or you are an assaulter against women, it's like it's an undefensible allegation. Just like when somebody accuses you of being a racist. I mean, what can you say? Do you point to your charitable donations? Do you point to your black friends? Do you point to the things you've said before? I mean, it's just like, it's a really, really difficult thing to respond to, which is why it becomes more often more of a slur than it is a genuine attack. The racism one, by the way. Now, in this case, we have sort of unnamed sources and allegations and Department of Justice investigation and all that, but it's the hard evidence is missing. Anyway, so the point is, how do you respond? And I think part of what he was doing on Friday was responding and saying, look, you know, I think women are incredibly capable, and I just can't believe people would believe this about me.
There is a sentiment among some women in the workforce that men are hired and promoted based on potential, but women are hired and promoted based on what they've done. My service in the Congress is more meaningful, more impactful, more noteworthy, because I have seen the potential unlocked with so many brilliant, patriotic women that I've had the chance to work with.
And see, I think his answer on this is kind of a lot like what President Trump would always say, which is, what are you talking about? Look at all the women I've put in leadership positions. Look at all the women that do great for me. You know, I want the best capable candidate. And so I have seen that often that's a woman. What are you talking about? You know, that's kind of like the response. How do you defend yourself against something like this?
For us to truly make America great again, we will need all that all of us have to offer. Men and women, gay and straight, rural, urban, suburban, black, white, brown, everybody.
All different sorts of people.
And so I welcome to our movement the libertarians, the populists, the different, the canceled, anyone who can rally around our inclusive America First agenda. Because it is going to take all of us, one great big team, forgiving each other our foibles and flaws to make America the best version of herself.
See, that sounds, I mean, you know, forgiving foibles and flaws, again, sounds like, you know, I've got some stuff I'm proud of, which obviously is true and true of all of us. You know, and in that article, I told you he wrote this column last week, not really admitting, but sort of admitting that if you knew all the details of his personal relationships, you know, you wouldn't think that was probably, you know, stellar. But I think he would admit that as well.
I know this. Firebrands don't retreat, especially when the battle for the soul of our country calls. Big government, big tech, big business, big media, they'd all breathe a sigh of relief if I were no longer in the Congress fighting for you. I am the only Republican in Congress who doesn't take any money from federal lobbyists or political action committees. Their money is no good with me.
And certainly,
and that scares them. And you know what? It should.
And certainly that's true. And you know, this issue of who is he in Congress and does he invite people to attack him, even to fabricate things against him? I mean, certainly that's true. And I think you have to factor that in as well, given what we saw with President Trump, given what we've seen with other people. 437-1620, 437-1620, study done of Republican voters by Victory Insights showed that of Congressional District 1, that's where we are, his denial, they believe him, 63% of Republican voters. 18%, 63% said that he's not guilty, 18% said he was, and 19% were unsure. If you add that together, that puts it at 82% of people, right? 82% of people either think he's innocent or they're not sure. When asked if he should resign, 72% should not. 19% think that he should, of Republican voters asked. And that seems about right to me. I think most people in our area who know Matt and have known him for years and listen to him think, you know, this looks made up, or at least a lot of this looks like it's made up. And I certainly want to wait and see the evidence before I form a strong opinion. 7:46 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Morning, 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I got a text in from somebody saying, you know, Congressman Gates hasn't done any local media, you know, since all of this broke, and it's weird. I'm like, yeah, it is. I mean, it is. It's weird. I think I understand, because when you're in the legal environment that he's in, you know, any good lawyer is going to tell him to not talk to the media, right? That's what any good lawyer is. I'm sure that's what his lawyers are telling him, and he's a good lawyer himself. But at the same time, it's just such a break with his ubiquitous presentation in local and national media. It's unusual. And, I mean, certainly here on this show, you know Matt's going to get a fair shake. I'm a supporter. So, yeah, it is unfortunate and unusual. 7:51 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The governor of Minnesota says his state is mourning another life of a black man taken by law enforcement. Police say a 20-year-old shot as he tried to leave the scene of a traffic stop yesterday sparked tense protests outside a police station in Brooklyn Center. The trial of a former Minneapolis officer starts week 3 today. Derek Chauvin, former officer accused of killing George Floyd last year. The defense expected to call their first witnesses later this week. Egyptian archaeologists celebrating discovery of a 3,000-year-old lost golden city. Jewelry, scarab, beetle amulets, and bricks bearing the seal of the great pharaoh unearthed. The site uncovered in the desert near Luxor dates back to the reign of Amenhotep III. No sign of Harrison Ford.
You throw me the idol, I throw you the whip. Is it a city of gold, or is that just a name?
Rats. Oh.
Yeah,
they're just saying it's just the a lost golden seed.
Oh, all right. You had me excited there for a second. All right. Mark, thanks for the update. 752 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
That's the applause that Hideki Matsuyama received following his final putt at the Masters. He won his first green jacket and first golfer from Japan to win at the Masters. So congratulations to him, and actually a really cool moment after his caddy. It's tradition. The caddy will take the flag off the flagstick to keep as, you know, memory. Well, then he returns the stick, and then he takes his hat off and bows to the course afterwards. So people thought that was a really, really cool moment there, paying respect to Augusta and how difficult that course can be. So, yep, congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama. Will Zalatoris finished runner-up, while Bubba Watson, he didn't fare so great. He did make the cut, though, shot one over par. So he'll walk away with some change in his pocket. Also, congratulations to the UWF cheerleading team. National champions, first national title. And if I remember correctly, the cheerleading team has been around for as long as the football team has been around. So, you know, two programs that haven't been around that long and are national champions. So, again, congratulations to the Argos cheerleading team, certainly adding to the trophy case. Also going on in the world of sports, if you're a big hockey fan, today's the trade deadline, so I would expect a lot of movement to happen around there in that circuit. Also, Martin Truex Jr. wins at Martinville. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot of sports.
754 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It was kind of interesting. I've been thinking about this HB 1, you know, the House Bill 1. That's the anti-riot legislation that's now moving into the Senate as it's been passed out of the House. I swear I saw a story. It might have been on Channel 3, and if I'm wrong about this, I apologize. But I swear I saw a story that said that even locally there were some people protesting this over the weekend. I think it's a fascinating thing. Okay, because what people protesting this bill will say is that protest is important. Everybody agrees. That's not the issue. The issue is law-breaking, intimidation, destruction of property, and those sorts of things. And I was trying to think, like, what would be the real poignant protest if you're going to protest HB1? And again, I will say what I've said many times. I also have concerns about the possible abuse of this legislation in enforcement. We'll see. Okay. It's like many things. I'm in favor of it, but I'm willing to see if it winds up getting abused. Because what I see not happening is, for example, a group of animal rights folks, terrorists, you know, show up at some event that they're not invited to and they disrupt it. And what do? Or they try to intimidate people eating at a restaurant. This has happened downtown Pensacola. What can you do? Well, this actually creates mob intimidation as a crime, right? It creates assault sentences. They're stronger crimes and damaging property. And, you know, it says you can't go back immediately. You're going to have to wait to see a judge if you get arrested in connection with any of these crimes. And I was trying to think, like, what would be the most poignant way to protest this bill? Well, to me, it would be doing the things that this bill allegedly, and I say it that way on purpose, criminalizes, right? Doing the things that are, they say, legal now, but illegal under this bill. And then saying to people, see, I wouldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to destroy this property, and see how much sympathy you get. Or, you know, get arrested and then you immediately come back out of jail, come back to the fight, you know, or the protest and have a sign that says, I just got arrested. And if HB1 passes, I'd have to still be in jail. Like, there'd be no poignancy to this protest whatsoever, because I think what most people, if they really understood what this bill does, they'd be on the side of the bill. But the protesters, of course, are, you know, putting up these sort of ruses about, well, this is going to stifle free speech and this is going to stifle peaceful protest. No, it's designed to separate peaceful protest and protect it as opposed to the other kind. Hey, we're just talking about the UWF cheerleading team, and I think we got a note in, Davis. Might have been a bit of a correction. You want to explain this?
Yeah, it says that they had actually cheered for the program back in 2003 through 2006. They're cheering for the basketball team exclusively prior to the football team. See, when I went there between 2013 and 2018, I personally recall it just being the football team, but I stand corrected. Certainly, that would make sense for a basketball team.
It had been around longer than that, at least as bad. And I thought this was the first time they'd actually competed. So to win it first time out competing is also pretty impressive. We'll be back in just a minute with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.